Brother Nick and Brother Swanson, awesome job. And I want to go to Cameroon. And I've already, he doesn't know it, but I'm going to be talking to him about languages. We've already got a good French Bible. That's not an issue. But I know that there are tribal languages in Cameroon, no doubt about that. So I'll be talking to him about that. Great presentation. Brother Nick, you and I, very similar. When you look at Nick, you probably think of me. And when you look at me, you probably think of Nick. And how that comes about is I'm 5'6" and a half too. A half. Don't leave that out, okay? We want to make sure that that is always there. Before I do anything else, fellas, ushers, would you get those cards in the back and make sure that everyone has one of these Faith Promise cards? And as we pass those out, would you please, please take that card? And I think we say this every year. If we missed, then it's my fault. But we should do this every year. Take that card, and tomorrow night we'll find out if somebody doesn't have a card, and we'll make sure that they have one. I want you to take that card and put it in your Bible. And don't leave your Bible on the seat, saving seats. There's plenty of empty seats. You don't need to save your seat with your Bible. Take your Bible home so that you can read it. But put this card in your Bible. And I'm going to ask you, as an individual and in your family, when you pray, would you pray together? Would you pray individually about your part in missions, in this Faith Promise Missionary Conference this year? And I know that if you will allow God to speak to your heart, I have no doubt that He will show you. And it might be a little scary. He may place a figure in your mind and in your heart, and you'll say, whoa, I think I better pray about that a little bit more. And or it might not be enough. And I've never had the issue that it was too much. I've never had anybody say, you know, Lord, preacher, I think I promised too much and God told me to give less. I don't know. I've never had anybody come to me and tell me that. But would you please pray about your faith promise, everybody involved with that? Now, we do live in perilous times. We live in really difficult, difficult times. I was thinking of Cameroon and our good friends, the Wesco, and how her husband was murdered. And they had only been there just a few days in Cameroon, in that bad part of Cameroon. But in God's eyes, he received his reward in heaven. And it has been difficult for her, but God has provided for her and for her children. And God will always supply, no matter how hard the circumstances are, he will take care of it. There's a lot of things that we don't like. Amen? I mean, I don't like tribulation and trials and testings and sickness and disease and all of those things. I don't like persecution. I have an inferiority complex. You know, those things really bother me. But God told us that we would be persecuted. He said that. And his word is truth. And so if it's truth, then, and he also said he would never leave us, nor would he forsake us. So he is always there to guide us and direct us. And so even though these are difficult times, and in our economy, in our country, and we wonder what's going to happen, never fear, God is on the throne. And he knows exactly what's taking place. It's all in his plan and his purpose. He knew the heart of man. 2,000 years ago, he knew the heart of man. And he knows what man is capable of doing. And we are visualizing today the cruelty, those that went through World War II and World War I saw that. But for a lot of us, we didn't go through that. Now we are seeing what man is capable of doing. But one day, God will sit upon his throne. Jesus will sit upon his throne. And we will rule and reign with him. I don't understand all about that. But he hasn't clarified that yet. And he will when we get to heaven. And when we get there, that will be fine. And we'll be happy with that. Faith, promise, giving. Take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. I so look forward to coming. First of all, I look forward to coming here to see my dearest friend, Pastor Springer, and his dear sweet wife, Joe. And they are my closest friends on this planet beside my wife, sometimes my children, but they are my closest friends. And preacher, I love you. And I wish we were in the New Testament days and I'd call Paul over here and say, just raise him up, Paul. Have him walk down the aisle here. But we don't live in those days. And that doesn't mean that God cannot heal. Doesn't mean that God cannot perform miracles. And so whatever a day may bring, we trust him. And we are acceptance. We may not like it, but we accept it. There are a lot of things I don't like. I don't like being bald. I think it was about 6 months ago I finally accepted it. You know? I mean, there's some things that we don't like in life. But let me challenge you and encourage you to stay in the Word of God. Now, I understand. I know. I'm full-time. I have the great privilege of not having to go to a secular job. And I recognize that, and I am thankful for that. I am really thankful for that. And I understand that I may have more time than you have, but I try to make sure that I don't have more time than you. I try to make sure that I am busy doing the work of God. And so I challenge you to get into God's Word daily. And read God's Word. Well, I don't understand it. If you are normal, how many of you are normal? Okay, good. The rest of you, I don't know what you are, but if you are normal, we learn by repetition. Sure, I'm so glad I'm normal. I finally found out that I'm normal. We learn by repetition. You don't read the Bible one time and you know it all. I told the pastor, my friend, yesterday, and I said, you know, and we were talking about reading the Bible and all of that. I'm glad that I can't remember everything. It used to be a time I thought, I wish I could just remember everything. And I got thinking about that. No, I don't want to remember all my sins. I don't want to remember all my shortcomings. Now, I may be reminded one day in heaven, but I don't want to remember it. I've asked for forgiveness, and I want to move on. And so there is a blessing of not remembering everything. But by repetition, reading the Word of God, taking the time to do it. But if you're like me sometimes, we're so stinking lazy. I know, I'm sorry. I've already started using bad adjectives. But I had to emphasize that. Stinking, I had to put that in there so that it got your attention. But sometimes we get so lazy that, I'll do it tomorrow. I'll do it next week. And then all of a sudden months go by and we're not in the Word of God and we're not praying. Because we are so busy with all of these other things that can occupy our minds and our time. So I want to challenge you to be in God's Word. I want to speak to you during this week about growing your faith. This is a Faith Promise Missionary Conference. It's all about faith. We're going to define what is faith. Where does faith come from? Who gets faith? Who doesn't have faith? We're going to talk about some of those things. And hopefully, these things will help you to make the right decisions in your life. So in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, begin reading at verse 1. Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone. Now that's the Apostle Paul, remembering that when he first went to Thessalonica, there was a big uproar. And the believers that were there, they found out that Paul was there, and Paul was preaching Christ. Wherever he went, he preached Christ. Well, it stirred up a whole bunch of problems. And the believers, those that Paul had led to the Lord and others, said to Paul, we've got to get you out of here because they're going to want to kill you. And they knew that if they could get Paul out of there, then the church members and those that were left may be spared. And so Paul had to leave quickly. So I'm sure that there were a lot of things that Paul wanted to say to this church. He hadn't been there very long. And so now he's writing back to them. Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, I wanted to come and I can't, but I'm going to send somebody else to help you. And sent Timotheus, our brother, and minister. Now that word minister is the Greek word diakonos. That's the word that we get the word deacon from. And that word deacon simply means servant. And that's what he's sending back to this church. Timothy, a minister, a servant, to serve them, to help them. A minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith. To establish and comfort you concerning your faith. We see that word faith five times in these verses. That's the first one. That no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. What does that mean? That means that you and I are appointed unto suffering. I don't particularly like that verse very much, because God said we will suffer for the cause of Christ. But listen, folks, it's only for a little time. It's only for a little season. In comparison to eternity, it's just a brief moment. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and you know. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to you to know your faith. That's the second time we see that. I want to know of your faith. I want to know how you're doing. Lest by some means the tempter have tempted you and our labor be in vain. I prayed for you. I pray for this conference. I pray for this church. That Satan would not get a hold of you. That you not fall in temptation. That there be spiritual balance in this church. That as a unit, as a body, that you would press forward in the calling that God has given you. Then he says in verse 6, for now when Timotheus came from you unto us and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity. The third time we find that word, faith, and it's connected with charity, your love and your giving. And that ye have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us as we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our afflictions and distress by your faith. Again, we see that word faith. For now we live, if ye stand fast in the Lord. For what thanks can we render to God again for you, for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God, night and day, praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Now that's what this conference is all about. I think, and I hope, all of us have faith. But let's take an inventory and see where we might lack faith. And let's talk about that a little bit this week. And see some area that we need to shore up. Some area that we need to progress in. And that we need to strengthen our faith. Now God himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another. And toward all men, even as we do toward you. To the end he may establish your hearts, what? Unblameable, in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. Father, we have gathered tonight for fellowship, and that has been sweet, seeing folks that, for me, that I haven't seen for a year, and it's good to see and to encourage one another. We gathered here to sing, and that was sweet also. We've gathered here to hear testimony from the missionaries of what has been accomplished in Cameroon and the vision for the future of Cameroon, and the calling of a young couple to go to the country of Japan, and all the great need that's in that place. So, Father, we have been inspired this evening by hearing those testimonies. And now, Lord, I pray that you'd help us as we receive instruction of how to increase our faith, how to walk by faith, Lord, how to increase our giving to you, which starts with our lives. Help us to give our lives to you and surrender them to you. So, Father, would you bless tonight? Holy Spirit, I'm glad that you are working. There will be a day. The Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit will be taken out of this world. But that hasn't happened yet. And so the Holy Spirit is here, convicting us, moving in our hearts and our minds. And I pray that the Holy Spirit would have free liberty, that we would allow him to speak to us and to challenge us tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Turn back over to the previous chapter in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 19 and 20. Just a page back. In verse 19, for what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our glory and joy. What Paul was saying there was, you are our fruit. We showed you, we led you to Christ, we showed you the way. You are our reward. And just as you are my reward when we get to heaven, You can have that same reward by spreading the gospel around the world. You may not go physically to Cameroon, but you can go by proxy. You can go through your missionaries, and you can have a part in what they're doing. Now, how will you do that? Well, first of all, you'll do that by prayer, praying for them, and praying for learning something about Cameroon. Now we've learned tonight that there's English-speaking people and there's French-speaking people, and some of them want to divide the country, and there seems to be civil war. So we already have a little bit of knowledge about Cameroon, and so we can pray effectively for our missionaries, protect them as they go. We know a lot about Japan, the history about Japan. And now we've been presented with a young couple that's willing to give their lives to go to Japan. Anybody else like to go to Japan? And I don't mean as a tourist. All of us would like, well, yeah, let's go to Japan and see the sights. That's not what we're talking about. Can you imagine? What you're doing in Japan and what you're doing in Cameroon, when I sat there and listened to you, because I'm very familiar with Mexico and Pentecostalism and Catholicism and all of that. And it was super easy to get a profession of faith. Super easy. And I thought, well, they are two completely different cultures, but still almost impossible to reach. So how would we reach them? You ever think about Nicodemus? You remember Nicodemus in chapter 3 of the book of John? And when did he come to Jesus? During the day when everybody could see him? No, he came to Jesus at night. Now, what was Nicodemus' instructions? Well, I mean, he knew all the customs, all of the traditions. And I believe that he was taught in those customs and traditions from an early age up. Now, here was a man who studied the Old Testament scriptures, but his eyes were blinded to those prophetic scriptures talking about Christ's death. Satan had blinded his life, his eyes, his own life did that. Why? Because of the tradition and the customs that he was raised up in. So how would you like to have to minister to somebody like that? What about a Hindu in India? The same thing. They've grown up all of their life in Hinduism. They've never known anything else, never heard the name of Christ, know nothing about God, know nothing about the Trinity, know nothing about the Holy Spirit, know nothing about Jesus Christ, let alone anything about the Bible. And God calls you to go to India to work with the Hindus there. How in the world do you think you could reach them? Well, if you're trying to come up with some fancy way to do that, which there are people doing that today, you're going to fail miserably. There is only one way, and the Bible tells us how to do that. What did Paul do every place where he went? He preached Christ. And the power of that, and the power of God's word. The problem is, if you and I don't believe that God's word is powerful for our own lives, how could we ever believe that it's powerful to change the lives of these people? If it doesn't change my life, why would I think it would change their life? But if I believe that it has changed my life, and it has, then it can change their lives. If it could change Nicodemus' life, if it could change the hardest of sinners' lives, could it not change the people around the world? That's why it's important that everybody have the Word of God. I still cannot imagine a missionary going to the field and not having a Bible. I just can't imagine that. Now, with the knowledge that I have, I can hardly imagine a missionary going with a perverted Bible. That blows my mind. And I can understand it a little bit, but when it's explained to him that the Bible that you have has many, many, many errors in it, and you're going to have to constantly correct that from behind the pulpit, and you have no idea what you're doing in the minds and the hearts of the people that you are preaching to, you are tearing down God's word every time you preach it, because he said he would preserve his words. So if he's preserved his words, why is there not a faithful, accurate, and true translation in that language? Wow. Then I'm afraid that maybe we don't believe in the power of God's words. We just say, well, just give him anything. It'll be fine. There's a lot in there that is his word and it should work. And yes, there is a lot that is in there that his word. But man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That's what God says. And so you and I, by participating in missions, can get his word out. And there's a reward that would be for that. So I want you to keep that in mind. As you give, you are witnessing around this world. Now that doesn't mean that you don't have to witness here. You don't say, well, Brother Ziner, I'm gonna give an extra amount so I don't have to do anything here. No, it doesn't work that way. No. You want to give the extra amount, that's fine. But you got to be faithful here too. What is faith? Where does it come from? Is it some magical thing that just appears? What is it? Well, Romans 10:17. What does Romans 10:17 say? Anybody can quote it? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word. Yeah, that's fine. I gave you all the clues. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So where does your faith come from? Are you born with it? Is there a store here in Omaha or in Council Bluffs where we can go and buy it? How much does it cost? Is there a price on it? By nature, you and I do not have faith. It has to be proven to us. But we learn in a Christian home, we learn from our parents, and we learn it church, that we don't possess automatically faith. It has to be developed in our lives. When is the first time that, as a Christian, that you use it? Well, you use it when you're born again, when you're saved. That's the first time that you really use it, in a biblical sense. So you hear the plan of salvation. You've never seen God. You weren't there 2,000 years ago. But you put your faith that the Bible is true, and you read those verses, and you feel the power of those verses, and you realize that you're a sinner, and there's nothing that you could do. Church membership, good works, stop sinning, treat your neighbor better, treat your wife better, even treat the dog better. None of those things are going to give you eternal life. None of them. That's what I tell my Catholic friends. You're still relying upon Mary. You're still relying upon the rosary. You're still relying upon communion. You're still relying upon the Mass. You're still relying upon confession. You're relying upon all those little things that if they weigh enough, it's going to allow you to come into heaven. None of those things. You would have to be absolutely perfect to make it to heaven on your own. And you can't be. So when a sinner realizes, now I didn't understand everything, but I understood none of those things could save me. Only Christ could save me. I didn't understand all the theology of it, but I understood what's called the simplicity of it. I understood that Jesus died for me. And so my faith started in my life. Where did it come from? Where did that faith come from? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. What did I hear? The word of God. And my faith started. Where'd your faith start? Well, I hope it started at the same place. But if it didn't start there, maybe it needs to start there. Maybe you need to be born again if you've never been saved. So one definition of faith is belief that is not based on proof. Now, that is absolutely contrary to my flesh, right? Because my flesh wants to see proof. But it's belief that is not based on proof. It does not come from inside, but it comes from God and His Word. You and I determine the growth of our faith. Now, I can determine the growth of my belly if I want to. Now, if I'm normal. Now, some people can eat and eat and eat and nothing happens. But normal people like me, I can determine the growth of my belly if I want to. I just put more in. And it just automatically just comes. So I determine that. Or if I want to lose weight, I determine I'm going to lose weight. I can determine to treat my wife right or treat her wrongly. You know, there's a lot of things that we can determine. And in this area of faith and faith promise giving, it's within our power, it's within our possession to make that decision. You're a builder, and it's within your power because you have knowledge of how to build. But it's outside of your power when all of a sudden a 2x4 costs $49.95. And that's an 8-foot one. And not even an 8-foot one. A 7-point-something, whatever it is. That's out of his control. Now, he can build anything. But now, all of a sudden, some other people have control, and it puts him in a big, big problem. You see, that's where we're facing in our faith promise. There's some things that's out of our control. There's some things that are impossible, humanly speaking. But there's never anything impossible with God. When God has commanded us and charged us to go forward, then our job is to trust Him and believe Him and say, God, You have called me to do this. And somehow, some way, You're going to do it. Biblical faith can be seen and measured. Turn with me over to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Very familiar passage of Scripture. Verses 1 through 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 through 7. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. That was a choice. They didn't have to do this. They heard of a need. And they said, hey, we want to participate in this. And they gave. And they gave liberally. In verse 3, for to their power, that was what they possessed. That was the faith that they had. And they said, we're going to use the faith that we have, for to their power I bear record, yea. And then what? Beyond their power, they were willing of themselves. They started off with that faith, and they allowed that faith to increase and grow and went beyond themselves. It went to a point that they really couldn't do it. But they did it. How did that happen? Through faith. Praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God, insomuch that we desired Titus that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. What had happened to them should happen to the people at Corinth, the Christians at Corinth also. Verse 7, therefore, as ye abound in everything, and then he mentions, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. What was it, the grace that they had? That grace of faith, trusting and believing God, that God would supply for them. Now, do you think they would have done that if they weren't in the Word of God? Now, folks, they didn't have a leather-bound, defined King James Bible like I have. You know, it's really easy for me. The Bible wasn't all separated in chapters and verses like it is for us. You know, we really have it made, and yet we still have a hard time with it. And yet they searched the Scriptures daily, and they grew spiritually. James 2:17 says, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead being alone. You say, I've got all the faith in the world. Well, is there any evidence of it? I have to ask myself that question. You have to ask yourself that question. I can say I have evidence of my salvation. I exercise my faith. I know that I'm born again. So there is an evidence of my faith. But what about my faith that's growing? Is my faith growing? Am I seeing other things? What are the fruits of faith? There will be evidence of your faith. Romans 12:3 says, for I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. So does that mean, Pastor Chad, that God has, he looked at you and he said, you're a tall guy, so I'm going to measure you out a little bit more faith. Nick, you're a short guy, I'm going to measure you out a little less. Now you get my meaning here. God doesn't do that. He doesn't say, well, I like you better than I like this person, so I'm going to give this person more faith than this person. Well, and you might sit there and say, well, you're a preacher, you're supposed to have more faith. And by saying that, you are excusing yourself. You're saying, well, you're supposed to. Pastor Springer's supposed to have faith. Okay, yes, we are. But so are you. We're all supposed to have faith. So what measure of faith has God given you? Romans 12:6, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. What proportion of faith do you have? Acts 6, when they were looking for those men to serve, one of the qualifications that they looked at when Stephen was chosen, that they were full of faith. They had to have. Now, how would they know they were full of faith if there was no evidence there? So your faith should have evidence. That doesn't mean that you write on your forehead, I have faith. That's not what that means. Your life, your action will prove it. Well, I just don't like the way things are done. Well, there are a lot of things that Connie doesn't like that I do. And when the Holy Spirit tells me, I work on it. But her job is to pray for me. And her job is to have faith. Now, that doesn't mean that she can't bring it to my attention. But her job is to pray for her husband. And my job is to pray for her and us to love one another. Wouldn't that be the same principle in the church? Well, that person is just not easy to like. Well, you ever look in the mirror? You know? Now, I really don't know much about that because I am so easily light. You know, I don't have that problem. So it's hard for me to illustrate that. Romans 1:17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. What does that mean, from faith to faith? That you have faith, and that faith is going to grow. So tonight I want to leave you with this. You know what faith, where it comes from. It's not you. It's in the Word of God. You hear it, and you act upon it. Now you heard it, and you received the Word, God's Word, and you put it into action. Now, folks, take that home, even tonight before you go to bed. I don't know, my favorite show's coming on TV tonight. I don't know if I have time to read this. Turn it off and just spend some time in prayer. Well, Brother Zeiner, I don't know the last time that my wife and I prayed together. Maybe you need to start tonight. Nobody told me to say that. I have no idea. No husband or no wife told me to say that. I have no idea. You know how I know that? You know how I know that? Guilty. I'm guilty. And we all live in the flesh. And we all struggle. But when it's recognized, then we respond to it. Faith to faith, growing in your faith. Let's bow our heads. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, no one looking around, please. Let me just ask you a real simple question. I would not call out your name even if I knew it. Might there be someone here tonight? Say, preacher, I've never exercised that first faith. I've never trusted Christ as my Savior. I've trusted in all kinds of other things, but I've never trusted Christ as my Savior. Would you pray for me? Just slip up your hand and put it down. All right. Might there be some here tonight that would say, preacher, when you pray, when you finish tonight, would you pray that my faith would increase? I want my faith to increase. Just slip up your hand. No one looking around. God bless you. Amen. All over the congregation. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I want my faith to increase. I know there's a constant battle within me with this flesh. It's warring all the time. But I know that reading your word, praying, that we can overcome. Paul was concerned with this church that the tempter would come in and try to destroy their faith. God, this church, Open Door Baptist Church, has been faithful over the years of giving to missions. Oh God, may the tempter not come in and destroy that. And Lord, may this church progress forward, not backwards, but forward. Here's a new missionary that needs support. There's others that need support. And so God, may the church step out in faith, believing and giving that they could go a little further around this world. God bless them in Jesus' name.